thinking is everything in business. Ideas come from thinking, strategy, how to navigate, it's all thinking. So whatever you can do to improve your quality of thinking, that's really where we need to be looking now. And that's the exciting thing, I think, for the next decade. And it's kind of what we need, because it's not just about success, it's also about life.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Entrepreneur Experiment Podcast. With me, as always, Gary Fox, or Mr. Gary Fox, as people have started introducing me now. I went on a couple of podcasts and did some talks in the last couple of weeks, and people give me my full title from my social media handle, which I think is absolutely comical and absolutely brilliant. Thank God I picked a decent enough name. Yes, Mr. Gary Fox. Today, we're chatting to the one, the only, Shane Craddock, Ireland's number one high-performance coach. Shane is the real deal, and we'll get to him in 1 second. Quick thank you to Kiri's Car Store. That's carstore.ie, Ireland's only choice. Don't be going anywhere else. They're your only choice for buying a used car in Ireland. We'll chat a little bit more about them in a little bit. First, I have a big giveaway for you. I'm treating you this Thursday morning. Massive giveaway. We have 10 tickets to give away for the upcoming Dublin Tech Summit. It takes place on June 17th. It's a virtual summit, so you can go in your pajamas if you like. And it has incredible speakers and hosts, including me. I'm going to include myself in that incredible lineup. So I actually did a talk with Oscar Hoogland, the co-founder and CEO of Epidemic Sound. If you've been on YouTube in the last 10 years, they soundtrack nearly every single YouTube video. They're a massive company. They've just been valued at $1 billion. They are phenomenal. So I was delighted to get the chance to talk to him. They've also a huge amount of other speakers, including the founder of Revolut and many more. To win, simply share your favorite episode with me of the Entrepreneur Experiment, of course. Share your favorite episode on Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn. Share the episode, tag me, Mr. Gary Fox, and the Entrepreneur Experiment, and I will pick 10 winners on Monday, June 14th to go along to the summit 3 days later on June 17th. So share your favorite episode after this. Listen to this episode. Share your episode then with me. And it might even be this one. Who knows? Today, Shane Craddock, he is the coach. He is the secret weapon. I heard his name whispered in corridors of power for the last couple of years. People would hint that they had a secret weapon. And I found out who it is. It's this guy. It is Mr. Shane Craddock. Here is my chat with him. Shane, welcome to the pod.
Thank you, Gary. Good to be here.
It's genuinely a pleasure to sit down and chat to you.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, it's a beautiful sunny day, so hopefully we'll bring some sunniness into the pod as well.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. What a way to start.
It's all downhill from here.
Yeah. Shane, what do you do?
Professional messer, Gary. I help people, I guess, to get to their best, and then I guess maybe help other people, the people around them, to also get the benefit of that ripple.
Usually I talk to entrepreneurs and I ask them, where'd the idea come from? How'd you get started? Blah, blah, blah. I'm going to ask you more or less the same thing. How did you become a high performance coach? I called you on my Instagram this morning. So how did you become that?
I think by accident really is the answer. And it hasn't, it's more, I don't know, was it Steve Jobs that said joining the dots backwards? Hmm. So I don't know which version do you want, the long version or the short version?
We've got an hour. If it takes the hour, let's do it.
Okay, yeah. God help your listeners. Well, look, I started off in a very different direction. I started off doing engineering in college. I did biochemical engineering at UCD. I always wanted to get into business. And so when I left, I kind of moved in that direction. I worked originally for Bord Nemona in their business development unit, which actually was set up by Ed O'Connor, who went on to found SSE Airtricity. Mm. And that was a good grounding, because it was a grounding in innovation and ideas and everything else. And then I moved on to PepsiCo International. I was there for about 5 or 6 years, which was brilliant. But while I was there, something formative happened, I think, in the first 18 months of me being in Pepsi. Nothing to do with the work. It was more to do with something, I think, that was going on inside me. And essentially, I ended up having a severe breakdown at the time. This was back in 1995. It was the summer of 1995, about a week before my, I think it was my 24th birthday. So luckily, obviously, I came through that because at the time it was quite severe. I was suicidal for a period. I went into counselling, and that was kind of, for me, a game changer insofar as that the person that helped me, who was the counsellor, was a little bit of a maverick. And he asked me a question in our first meeting, which unwittingly, unknowns to him, because he didn't intend it to have this effect, but it had a profound effect on me, because he said to me, he said, "Do you realise that you have a mind?" And it just stumped me. I didn't actually know what that meant. I have a little bit of a better understanding now. But what it did do was it highlighted a kind of a door to this subject that I'd never known was inside my inside me. And so I said, "Oh, what's this?" And I pushed open the door, looked inside and saw this big world. And I went, "Oh, let's go in here and have a little, let's have a little root around." And it had such a big impact on me, and has had. So I kind of got into personal development. First of all, it was for survival for me, just to come out of that stressful period. But I always remember maybe a year after the peak of that stress, I was in work, and the MD at the time, he had left and gone on to bigger, better things within the organization in Pepsi, and he'd come back for a visit, and I had to present in front of him. And at the end of my presentation, there was a break, and he came up to me afterwards, and he said, he was English, he said, "I won't do my English impersonation just in case I offend anybody, Gary," especially my family. He said to me, he said, what are you doing differently?" I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "He said, you're more confident, you're more relaxed. What have you changed?" That was a very good presentation. And I didn't actually know what he meant. I said, I don't know, just... He said, "Well," he said, "whatever you're doing, keep it up. It's nice to see your evolution." And then something happened that was kind of very important. A friend of mine is a very good personal trainer. He actually emigrated over to Los Angeles, Thurston Pym, and he's got a few gyms over in Los Angeles. Brilliant personal trainer. And he was running these workshops around Ireland to do with physical fitness, helping people to kind of get more in the zone, etc. But he said to me, "Would you come in and do a little bit of a talk about psychology?" And I said, "Well, I think you've got the wrong guy. I don't know anything about that." He said, "No, you do." And I said, he said, you've come out your situation of which you knew about, and you're better and you're stronger, and you just seem more you. Would you just tell us whatever you learned?" So I had to reflect on it, and I kind of came up with a very small kind of mini workshop thing, and I delivered that. And two things happened. One is I really enjoyed it. I'd never done anything like that before, but I really, really enjoyed it. I kind of felt myself come alive. And the second thing was the people in the room actually seemed to really take it in. And then he followed up with, "Actually, the people have really taken on board what you said, and they've implemented some of the things. Would you come back and talk at some other workshops?" So it kind of started that. That was kind of going on in part time to my work. And it's kind of just to continue from there, Gary, you know. I mean, it hasn't been a straight line. I didn't set out to do what I do now. I've always, I think, wanted and had this at my core. I've always enjoyed helping people. I always have. I think at the start, I was thinking about this recently, you know, at the start of a year, generally my friends, I'd be the one that they come to say, "Hey, let's set some goals together." Yeah. Yeah. And I always kind of figure, why are they coming to me?
Yeah.
I always kind of was in that kind of way. And then I got very into seminars, got very into education. I kind of had a problem. I got addicted to them, I would say. I kind of overloaded on them. I overdosed on them. But it was only because I was coming from this mindset of, I can't go back to what I was. I was in so much pain. I'll just do anything to make myself better. But what I discovered in the process was one, you can overload on information for sure. Two, information, there's so much information out there that somebody somewhere is going to know how to help you move to the next point in whatever your journey is. Somebody somewhere knows what has to be done. But then the third thing was, and I suppose this is where maybe it's kind of the evolution of my own career in terms of even how I look at things, like, because high performance is a funny phrase. It's a little bit of a BS phrase, really, to many, especially if you're in Ireland, you know what I mean? You know, the filters come across like, "Oh, geez." But it's a real thing. And I think most people now understand, at least, look, I want to be more at my best. The concept of coaching and things like that has gone through a major growth phase over the last 15 years in particular, especially initially but with sports. You know, it's kind of, if you're at the top of your game and you're really serious about winning at the top level, you know, you don't have people around you who are advising or coaching, it's not going to, you're not taken seriously. Now, business has still been slow to take that up, but that's kind of what I do. So what's happened is, as I've gone along, and it kind of hit an inflection point in 2008, where when the crash happened for me, I suppose I had clients before that on the business side, and I used to always try and sneak if we have a little talk about the mind. Sorry, Shane. No. Business is good, man. I don't need to talk about that.
Don't mess with it.
Don't. Let's not talk about that woo-woo stuff. And like, we're real men around here. Let's not talk about the mind.
You were helping them from a business perspective. Yeah. Goal setting, things like that.
Yeah, what I would call the outer game.
Okay.
So the outer game is, you know, it's the traditional areas of business, like leadership, you know, in terms of conventional sense, you know, marketing strategy, goal setting. It was very much business. And I'd also would have included the personal as well at that time. Although a lot of the time I used to get pushback. I said, why do you want me to focus on my personal? Less pushback now. But in 2008, when the crash happened, and for the next couple of years, every single one of those clients came back to me and said, you know, for our meetings, they said, listen, I know you tried to talk to me before about the mind and I didn't listen. Can we talk about that now? And, you know, why? Because I'm just stressed out of my head. I obviously need to do something differently. So that gave me a great chance to kind of to get a series of kind of, for want of a better description, case studies, where I had a chance to kind of really apply and test my own knowledge and what I thought would work, and also some theory. And in some cases it didn't work. And then I kind of go, okay, well, what does work? And I suppose as it's gone on since 2008, I have kind of transitioned gradually from a passion point of view, I guess, looking, if you're asking me now, more into the inner game. And I mean, I think I've been there myself since 1995 when I had the breakdown. And I've just been exploring it since. Some of the exploration has been revelatory, and some of the exploration has been a waste of time. But that's part of exploration. So I think, you know, especially in the last 5 or 6 years, I think I had a change in insight myself where I realized, you know, I think all of that stuff in personal, professional development, high performance, whatever you want to call it, is very useful. All of it. But I think there's a blind spot around the extent to which our inner game, our inner world, our mind affects what's happening outside us. And I've seen it too many times now. I've had too many case studies with clients. I've been very, very lucky that I've had a chance to work with some really good people. And then also on myself. And for me, that's the ultimate one, is that, you know, the mirror test for me is, you know, at night when I'm looking at myself, can I say, like, I'm happy with what I'm looking at? Am I applying what I'm talking about, which I think is the hardest thing to do? Not just as a in what I do, but also as a leader, as my clients, or even as a parent, or just as a human being. Like, you know, I would have been, especially if I think back to like the early noughties, I would have been very good at giving advice and knowing a lot of stuff, but not really good at actually turning that into results for myself. And that was really disheartening, you know, until I kind of went, well, hang on now, what am I missing here? You know, it's like everything I know, it doesn't seem to be translating into results. So what am I missing? And what I was missing really was just the application. And like in anybody, like you've interviewed some great guests, but like what they all have is, you know, they're not shy of action. Like they're all action merchants, right? But it's funny, I was listening to the one with, I forget his first name, Dalton from the most recent.
Oh, Adam Dalton from Robotify, yeah.
Robotify, yeah. Great, I mean, amazing business. But at the start, you guys were talking about, you know, the addiction to, you know, the entrepreneur is always onto the next thing. And I think Like, that's something that I'd see with my clients. And I see, I'm fascinated by things like that. Mm. And so I've had a chance to test, well, what is that? Why is it there? Just from my own point of view, but I'm fascinated with research. I would look at things like, you know, neuroscience, psychology, even though I'm not an ist of any type. You both were talking about the entrepreneurs. He was saying it's like an addiction, which I think it is actually, right? In terms of you always go on to the next thing. It's what I call the more monster. Yeah, and I think
I like that, the more monster.
Well, I always want more, there's always more. And see, how I'd see that is now is I can recognize it in myself. It's part of the creative spirit of the human being is what I see, because I think at our core, we are creative beings. I think entrepreneurs in particular are great examples of that. But if you don't understand, I suppose, the tech behind tech, so like he's creating a tech business. Mm. For me, I'm interested in, well, what's going on? How do you create that tech? It comes out of the human being. And the inner side of that is everything in terms of your mind, how you think, the nature of creativity. We were talking earlier on about adaptability and resilience, all the things you need to lead and to grow a business. It's like your network is important, your idea is important, your knowledge is important, training is important. But for me, the most important thing, and this is what I've learned, it's why I got into it. It almost feels for me more like a calling than anything else, because I really, there's nothing that excites me more than figuring out how somebody ticks to help them to figure out how they tick. And then you can do what every entrepreneur wants to do, which is you access leverage. So like an entrepreneur is always looking for leverage in terms of scale or whatever else. But what about scaling yourself? Like that's the bit that I'm interested in. So, and it's kind of maybe in a way, as I'm talking it out, maybe it's partially selfish, because I think I'm very into just self-mastery, I guess maybe is the phrase. It sounds a bit corny, but it's just mastering my inner world. Because I know that to get the best out of me, you know, I think as I've said to you before, like peak performance, from what I can see, lives in the zone of a calm, clear mind. But for most people, they won't let their mind be calm and clear until the outer circumstances are the way that they want.
Yeah.
Which right now is just not possible. You know, it's just like, you know, there's work on
it. It's rarely possible. Yeah. Because like you said, the more monster pops up.
Exactly, yeah. So you did this. I mean, I always remember one classic, and I've had a series of conversations like this with clients, you know, brilliant entrepreneur, who said to me, like, you know, they were at, I think, 3 million turnover. And so I'm going to get to 10. When I get to 10, then I'm the bomb, right? So, Gary, you tell me, we get to 10.5. What did they say?
20, 50.
Do you know what? That's exactly what they said. They said 20. They said, I just realized kind of 10 is for losers. That's exactly the word they used. And then they go, 20. Now, somebody listening to this could go, what's wrong with that? They're ambitious. They're going to go out, drive on. And I would say, yeah, fair enough, except for one thing. It makes you miserable. And if you're trying to get the best out of yourself, misery really isn't, in my experience, something that's going to cause sustainable success for you.
There's been a cult, though, around misery, you have to work hard, you have to be working 16-hour days, you have to be clocking the weekends, you have to be ruthless, you have to be hard. That seems to be changing.
Yeah. Well, I think it comes from the industrial age model, I would have thought, you know, the factory mindset of 9 to 5 and or whatever else. But it does seem to be changing. Yeah, it does. And that's a good thing, because I think what we need to look at is what's the model? What models are we using that are even unconscious that we've inherited about how we see work or life? Or to me, like high performances, I think, you know, I was listening to another podcast that Johnny Wilkinson was talking, and he was asked for his definition. He said, well, if you asked me when I was in my early 20s, I would have said it was all about results and outcomes and winning this and winning that. Now he said, and this is exactly where when I heard it, I went, that's my definition as well. He said, it's about absolute engagement. So when an entrepreneur or anybody who's a leader is in the flow or in the zone, they are totally engaged. Now, usually it's probably because they might be in a pressure situation, or maybe there's a big pitch. So they have to be on it. Mm. And what I'm seeing is more the opportunity for especially, and this is what excites me with CEOs and entrepreneurs in particular, is that if they can get and see a different model, one that is less effortful, then there will be a natural ripple effect into their teams and into the communities. So that's why I firmly believe, I mean, I'm in the camp of the change for the future in the world is through the entrepreneurial community. It's not going to come from the government. The entrepreneurial community will influence the governmental agenda. Is governmental a word? I don't know if I get that right.
Well, I think we know what it means.
Yeah, I hope somebody does. So it's an exciting time. It's an exciting time. Yeah.
I think schools are just, as you're saying, I think school is a very funny model because they've taken the Industrial Revolution idea of get them in from 9 to 5 and then release them. And then that creates that model in people's heads where you have to be 9 to 5 and you have to be engaged.
Yeah, totally.
You're just not.
It's funny, Gary, because you're just reminding me, I was speaking to somebody, this has gone back maybe I think 2 years ago, a professor in UCD. And they were telling me that they were seeing a major problem coming through with some of the students, that they weren't thinking for themselves.
Yeah, it's very common in first years. Yeah, I've taught in college standard and very common in first years. Yeah,
he said they had a big gathering of all the teaching community in there and said, look, what are we going to do? And you see, this is the point, is that it, unconsciously, if we're kind of trained, most things, what are you talking about? Sure, I am thinking for myself. People might be shocked at how little they think for themselves. Like, I think a huge amount is affected by our unconscious mind in terms of our beliefs, our habits. I mean, I know some really great people who will say to me, well, no, I can control my mind, but yet they still procrastinate over other things. So that's not stacking up, you know, because if you really lead your mind, then that wouldn't be as much of an issue. And what a phrase that I often say to people is, look, you know, are you leading your mind or is your mind leading you? I think you might be shocked at the way your mind leads you. And so, for me, like, we're going back to the original question you asked about, like, high performance and how did you get into it. It's been kind of a natural evolution through, I would say, joining the dots backwards. And my continuous focus, if anything, is I'm very interested in my own development, obsessively so, I would say. But I think it's now in a managed addiction, Gary. I think, I realized that it did kind of flip over into unhealthy addiction, I would say. And especially when I became, a seminar junkie, maybe for the first, from 1995 to 2005, definitely a seminar junkie. And I'm happy to say that probably the last 10 years, less so. It's more to do with application, results, what's working, what's not, and getting more in tune with people and just seeing, okay, well, and more what excites me is, and this may not make complete sense, but actually I've come to the conclusion in the last 5 years that actually we're hardwired to succeed and be happy. We're actually hardwired.
Controversial opinion.
Well, I don't know, but that's my opinion. So I think the conventional view on this kind of area seems to be more around, and I think it is because that's what I was in, was it's more additive. So, you know, even coaching or development is about building skills up to another level, which does work. Let's be clear about that. But when you're at a certain level, what really matters is, I would say, it's more subtractive. It's understanding, how do I take away the stress or the inner interference that's getting in the way? So just to give you a practical example of, you know, it could be somebody who's very good in business, but maybe when they stand up to speak in a room full of people, they just get overloaded with fear. What's the problem? They're very capable. They know their work inside out. They can just share their stories if they're just calm and clear. The problem is that their inner voice is kind of getting in the way. And so that's the issue there for performance is more subtraction. If we can reduce the inner interference from that distractive voice, then the person's potential can just shine. And that's what excites me. So in many ways, it's maybe simpler than what we've been told, to be honest with you.
I think that equates to business as well, though, and our own personal lives, in terms of there's so much consumption. You're consuming all the time. Information, opinions, social media. And you're always trying to add more on. You're always trying to add on more routines or habits or structures or thought processes or mental models or apps. And when you say it's only when you start to pare it down, what do I actually need? What are the actual bare bones? It's like when you launch a new product, what is the minimum I can launch with and launch it then and learn? We take a quick break from today's chat to talk about our partners for season 6, kirriscarstore.ie. That's carstore.ie. They're an incredible family-owned Irish brand, and that is why I love partnering with them. They have an incredible service. As the world's reopening, You might need a new car. You might need to trade up the old one, or you might even need to get your first car. Go to carstore.ie. You can search over 700 cars and you can do it all online. That is the beauty here. 24/7, you go online, you pick out the car. I like that one. Okay. You can then book a virtual viewing. You can do it through your phone. You don't have to leave the house. You can go, okay, I like that one. We're going to buy it. The beauty is they'll deliver it anywhere in Ireland for you. And if you don't like it, you can return it. No hassle. Go check them out. They're incredible people. It's a brilliant business. It's carstore.ie, or you can click the link in the description below. Now back to today's chat. I think you're talking about evolution there. It's a very interesting point. We change. We change as people, and we should change as people. But sometimes we anchor ourselves on the past. You made a great point last week about building from the future, not from the past. I'd like you to talk a little bit about that, if you could, in terms of we were talking about, you know, beliefs and repetition of thought, and often people build their current reality based on their past.
They mostly do, yeah. Yeah.
How do you switch that around?
I think, first of all, it's just to be aware that, am I doing it? You know, is there any truth to that statement? So I think it's to explore, are you open enough to explore that statement? So, you know, we all have certain beliefs. I think, you know, there's a very respected psychologist in Canada, Nathaniel Brandon, who has a lovely turn of phrase. He says, self-concept is destiny. And like, what is self-concept? Self-concept is, you know, how I see myself. And within that then is there's certain beliefs. So somebody might say, well, I'm good at this and I'm bad at numbers, or I'm good at creative stuff. I'm bad at certain things. So we have a picture and identity and personality of who we think we are. But where do they come from? That's a little bit random, because it depends on what country you're born in, your parents, your friends, some experience happens to you in your teens. Could define your life if you let it. But most of us do, I think, like my experience is that we create from those past beliefs and we think, well, that's just the way I am. But when you start to understand...
That brilliant phrase.
Yeah, that's just the way I am.
That's how I am, and that's how we've always done it.
Yeah,
exactly. Two phrases to kill anyone's spirit.
Well, to me, you see, and I don't want to offend anybody with this, but this is how I see it, is that that's the victim mindset. That's something that that mindset would say. That's just the way I am. And I've heard like really successful, competent, capable people say that. And say, well, no. See, the victor mindset to me is a different one, where it goes, well, no, that, I mean, that's maybe what I've been carrying to this point.
That's how I was.
Yeah. So when you said then about creating from the future, I think that's something that I've observed in the best people that I've ever worked with, is they definitely have different mental habits. You know, I would have read about it first or studied it, but then when you kind of get to work with people in real time, you actually see it in action, right? So the best people would always kind of have this capacity to go into the future and kind of, like, if you think about it in a very basic level, like, what is leadership, you know? And there's all sorts of definitions. To me, leadership is straightforward enough. It's basically, I can conceive of something in the future that excites me. And leadership is having the ability to take people on a journey to that point, to create that reality, to create it. But you have to have a sense of something, you know, what's something you can see or an idea. And that's really at the essence, at the heart of what your community do, which is you get an idea and you start. That's how an ice cream company starts. It's how, is it Joe? I was listening to her one as well, to do with the, she makes all these fantastic protein bars.
Oh, Joe, yeah. Joe is incredible.
Yeah. So like it starts off as an idea and then away it goes again. You know, you persist with it. It's never straightforward, never easy, but nothing is, if that's worthwhile.
I think that's a great analogy for entrepreneurs, because it just hit me there as you were saying it. You know, we do it with our businesses.
Yeah. What about us?
How can we not do that for ourselves? Because exactly. We all have these big ideas and big, clear visions. This is where the business will go. But if you probably asked the same entrepreneur to define where they were going to go, probably wouldn't have an answer.
Yeah, very often they don't. Like I know something I'll ask clients is, you know, would you not include yourself in your success? And they kind of look at you. Like, I'm very used to getting, you know, puzzled looks, Gary. Yeah. It's a weirdo.
That's how my face continually looks. Don't worry about it, Shane.
All right, I thought I was doing it again.
That puzzlement is
my
just...
magic skill. what would it take? Like to include yourself. And they kind of, what do you mean? So I am including myself. So, well, actually, I don't think you are because, you know, your business has grown to this level. You're earning nice money now, whatever. But you're not enjoying good health, for example. You're telling me that the relationships around you are probably not where you want them to be because you've ignored them because you said, you told yourself, this was your belief that I will get this level of success, then I will look after my family type of thing. Then I will look after my health. Then I will enjoy life. Mm. Or when I get to success, whatever success is, and as we heard earlier on, I thought it was 10 million, now it's 20 because 10 million is for losers, right? So your mind is a funny thing. So where's that coming from? It's coming from something inside you. And it's coming from really some sort of belief that you could have picked up listening to a podcast. You could have picked it up from a parent. You could pick it from some magazine. You just got your own idea and said, you know what, that's what success is. So to me, high performance is understanding how to balance. On one level, I think what I said to you is like what I see is the game of success. And then the other level is to bring in this other game, which is the game of living. And my experience, especially over the last... in particular, the last 5 or 6 years, is that the game of living actually enhances the game of success. And too often, and unnecessarily so, it's ignored. Now, most entrepreneurs or most people who are very good at what they do will tell themselves or have a belief in my experience that the game of success will make me successful at life. But that doesn't seem to be the truth because I've had the opportunity to work with and speak with like very successful people. And I know that's not the case. So, you know, I think, well, if that's the case then for an entrepreneur, like obviously, well, why not start now? Like, so, you know, self-mastery is really mastery of your inner world. Now your inner world is a bit like when you run a business as a CEO, you have to learn, like there's certain skills you have to learn to make the business work. And the better you get at those skills, you've got a better chance of making that business work and be successful. But I also see your inner world as an organization. So can we activate the inner CEO? Now, most people will think that it's activated, but it's a bit of a trick because in my experience, it's not. Generally, the ego has snuck in there and actually is saying it's pretending that it's the CEO. And so the ego is a funny place. Like it's in, on one level, it can be useful, but if it's put in charge, I think it's very dangerous. So does that make any sense?
It does. It does. And you said something quite interesting there. My mind is literally racing to catch up here on all the things you've said. You know, you talked about, you kind of touched on the 10 million, 20 million. Does a lot of that come from not wanting to face up to the why? Why are you doing it? Why are you building this business? Why are you striving for this? Is that masking not wanting to sit with yourself and understand what you're really doing it for?
Why you're doing it.
Why? Do people put that on the long finger? Because you talk about,
that's interesting, yeah.
You know, oh, when I get this, I'll be happy. When I get this, I'll look after my health. When I get this, I'll be a better person. Or maybe this will make me a better person.
It's an interesting point. I think, I would say it's definitely in there in the answer. I would say it's, I mean, I'm not sure I could tell you what the absolute answer of that is, but I think it's an area, it's an interesting one to explore. I think from the people that I've worked with, or even actually bringing it back to home, looking at myself, I mean, I would have been very guilty of the more monster, and I have to make sure that that part isn't let run the show. So it's very important. It's not that you don't want to use it, because that part is, that part of ambition or striving, like I like it.
It's fuel.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I like it. But if it gets, like I was talking to a CEO there a couple of weeks ago, and they'd be a good example of this. Now, really, really good CEO, like really, really good, nice business size and everything else, and very accomplished. But as we were kind of exploring their world, it became very evident that they're hyper-competitive. So the more monster comes into everything.
Mm.
But it was quite, as we explored, it was quite evident that A, they had to win every single argument. Every single argument. So when I said it to me, he did what you did. He started laughing. He goes, yeah, of course, yeah. I said, well, what's that doing to the people around you? I never really thought about that. Well, let's think about that. Or You know, do you bring it into that to your friendships, or what does that mean at home? So, and also like that more monster, it can be very consuming, you know, because it can literally stay on all the time. And so very often when I'm speaking with, you know, CEOs or entrepreneurs or any sort of senior leader, they'll all kind of go, I have that inner voice and I know exactly what you're talking about. It's just like when we get to whatever, I think it was this, which is that Adam Dalton about, like Roy Keane is a good example of that. Like he might celebrate for a day. Now he was extreme, but he's also been on the record since in the last few years where somebody asked him, if you were to go back again and do it differently, would you do anything differently? And he said, actually, I probably would have appreciated it more. So that's giving you a little hint that even the great Roy Keane is seeing a change.
You need that balance, don't you? You need that fire to drive you towards it. But then you need to be able to lift off the pedal a little bit and actually sit and enjoy it when it happens. Not be like, okay, now on to 20 million. I read a lot of interviews recently and listened to a lot of podcasts recently with that United squad. So Rio, Scholes, Giggs, Keane. And they were talking about what made that squad so special. And they were like, it was because we all had that driving us on. There was leaders throughout. And they were talking about the inability of the current squad to have leaders. But they would all be like that. And I found that very interesting. I was trying to thinking, right, is that nature nurture? Was that coming down from Ferguson?
What do you think?
I think it's an environmental. I think it's in them. I think it's, but it was brought out by the environment.
I think you're right.
I think it was brought out. I think it has to be in you. But I think it was brought up in the environment just from listening to the 360 of all the different interpretations.
Well, like, sorry, Guy, just on that though. So like to me, I think that to me is bang on. That's how I'd see it now, right? So you just said it's innate in them, but the environment has to bring it out. Yeah. So let's bring that into business. Let's assume that the same thing is true in business. Let's assume that actually everybody has this amazing innate nature, creativity, resilience, leadership. We all have it. But what can get in the way of that very often is our own minds or our inner voice or maybe lack of confidence, whatever way you want to call it, could be stress. Yeah. So imagine now if we had created a world where the leaders, the CEOs, the entrepreneurs, they kind of understand how that works inside themselves. And so now they understand how to bring it out in people around them. Like that's what makes me jump out of bed in the morning in terms of, I just think it's exciting to think about the potential of that. Because imagine if you could activate that, because even when you're talking about the United squad, like obviously Ferguson, you know, the linchpin of the whole thing, right? But you have all these leaders there, but it started with the person at the top. Now, maybe he couldn't explain to you why he thought the way he did. Because a lot of successful people can't tell you. Like, they'll tell you what they did, but there's very little focus still on, well, hang on, what was going on inside them now? How did he look at the world? What was going on inside? Did he visualize? Like, what did he do? Did he bother? Did he trust his instinct? It does seem to me that he was very, listening to some of those interviews, because obviously, as you know, I'm a Man United supporter as well. God love me. But
it's a shared place. It's a safe space, Shane. We're okay.
I hope it is, Gary. But he does come across as, I mean, Ferguson has an ego for sure, but he also comes across, I think, as intuitive, seems to be a very good man manager.
Intuitive is a very good word.
Yeah. But what is intuition? Like intuition to me is the nature within you. And again, like what I'm seeing more and more, I'm always looking for, I will look at the research, I will look at the theory, la, 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 la. But at the end of the day, if something works, I ain't going to disagree with somebody, because if it works. So I don't think one size fits all. I think to me, the nature of somebody fascinates me. And I think everybody has, most people I know are only scratching the surface really of their potential. And if we could help everybody to understand how we work from the inside out, just a little bit more, you know, my dream would be that it'd be taught in schools. I mean, like we are seeing a slight change there in terms of focus on mindfulness and meditation, but still it's only scratching the surface.
It's slow. Yeah, it's slow, and it's the early adopters still, even now when it's inverted commas or quotes, it's podcasts, people can't see me use my fingers. It's you know, it's early adopters, I think. It's not mainstream. I don't think it is. I think it's brilliant because it's been talked about. Look, we're sitting here doing a podcast about it. And what you mentioned something very interesting there. Why I love doing these podcasts is that they're a snapshot in time of success as it happens. Because too often I hate podcasts or shows or anything, whereas interviewed a very successful entrepreneur, they're looking backwards.
Yeah.
I like talking about what's happening right now. What are you thinking right now? Because too often, success is manufactured in the rearview mirror
100%.
In terms of people go, well, I did this and I did that. And they're just making it up, really, in terms of something might have happened. And they're going, well, that was probably it. You know, I did this thing. And, you know, whereas I love talking about it in the moment because people are real. And they're honest and going, look, we're doing this. It's a hard time, but we're going to keep going. And I'm looking forward to 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the line where we look back at these interviews and go,
what's happened?
Well, even a perfect example is Jim and Coffee. They're one of the first people I talked to on the pod. And now they've just done 20 million this year.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, I look back at this in 2 or 3 years and they've done 500 million.
Yeah, yeah.
And a billion.
Yeah. Brilliant.
And I think that's important, as in, so start to share stuff like this. It's okay to admit where you are now. Not perfect, not this finished being. We'll be back to today's guest in just a second. In the meantime, I want to highlight a great new Irish business. I'm taking a segment each week now in the Entrepreneur Experiment podcast and highlighting a great new Irish business that started in the last 12 to 24 months. Give them a little bit of a shout out, help them on their early stage of the journey. So here is today's Irish business.
Subscription Club is a simple e-commerce subscription system for your business that is branded beautifully and helps you to grow your relationships with your customers digitally. We want to help you recreate that personalized in-store shopping experience online. We help businesses to offer subscriptions to their customers in a really easy way. Whether it's a weekly coffee subscription or a monthly wine club, we help you create, brand, and launch your new subscription store in just a few clicks. Just head over to subscription.club and we'll help you create your subscription store with all of your products and all of your branding. Subscriptions are the easiest way for you to deepen your relationship with your customers online. So check us out at subscription.club and we'll get you all set up.
If you are an Irish entrepreneur and you've started a business in the last 12 to 24 months, reach out to me. Contact me via the pod and I'll do my best to highlight you on season 6 of the Entrepreneur Experiment. Now back to today's chat. What's the inner voice, Shane?
What is it?
Yeah, I'm going to switch gears completely because
I was about to make a comment on what you said there, but what's the inner voice?
Yes, because I've grappled with this and I think a lot of people listening will be like, I don't think I have an inner voice.
Yeah, well, the part that's saying I don't think I have an inner voice is the inner voice.
I kind of set that one up for you.
You did. Thank you very much. I just knocked that out the window there. It's just your mind gives a natural commentary on everything. Like it's there when you wake up in the morning. It's there just before you go to sleep at night. It's kind of this, as you know, I call my inner voice. I give it a name just to kind of make it a little bit more fun. I call it Gollum. You know, most of the time, because after the Lord of the Rings character, because a lot of the time it's negative. So now for some people, it's very positive. But even that to me is not the real them. I'm very interested in what I've seen more and more again is, you know, if you can just reduce the hold that inner voice has on you, it's amazing what it does for your performance. It's amazing what it does for your enjoyment of life. And it's funny, somebody sent me a quote there over the weekend and I've forgotten the exact quote, but it was something along the lines of like chasing special experiences in life is what actually stops you enjoying the magic of life today, right? Something along that line.
I'm going to have to make a note of that. That's gold right there.
Well, it is actually, because for anybody who's an entrepreneur, you got to stop and kind of go, right, look, you know, celebrate the moments now. Because like Roy Keane, you don't be like Roy Keane looking back and say, look, we should have appreciated the moment. I mean, I remember some of my clients, you know, starting from nothing and then they hit the first million, and the first million was always like, and it is a big milestone, a million, because it means so much, many other different types of things, because you move into a different space. But when we get there, we're going to do this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. And maybe they did a little bit, but just they didn't. But now they're on to it. No, we got to get to 5 now, guys.
More money, more problems.
There you go. And it is more money, more problems. And the problems never go away. They just get bigger. So it's about, you know, and mentally, how do you adapt to that? But going back to the inner voice, I mean, the inner voice is your constant companion. I remember being doing a talk in Dublin, I don't know, maybe 6, 7 years ago. And it was about this. And, you know, this isn't just me, by the way, just talking about the inner voice. Like, I think everybody knows, like, well, no, yeah, I haven't. So what's the big deal? But when you look at MIT, And when you see that over the last 15 years, they've been researching this area in their with their top people around leadership, creativity, and innovation. And they have identified the inner voice as probably the single biggest blocker to next level leadership, creativity, and innovation. And they would call it, they kind of, they're great at giving these acronyms and everything else, but they call it like, you know, VOJ, VOC, VOF as a good way to describe the critical side of that voice, which is voice of judgment, voice of fear, voice of cynicism. But I was at this talk, and I was kind of back from MIT, having done a course there, and I was sharing some of what I'd learned with about 100 people in the room. And I asked the question to the room. I said, look, how many people here have an inner voice? Just make sure I'm not the only idiot. So I put up my hand. And thankfully, Gary, everybody put up their hand and said, okay, so we all have an inner voice. Great. I said, how many here think that that voice is the real you? I said, if you don't think that, put your hand down. So about half the room put their hand down. But the other hand let their hand up. Mm. And I said, okay, I'm going to break this gently to you. That is not the real you. And I remember one woman, she was over to my left, and she literally got, she put her hand to her face. And of course, you can get distracted.
Who is it? Who is it? Yeah.
Is it Gary Fox?
Ouch, demons.
Yeah, well, actually, the demon within. There you go, Gollum, the demon within. So she sent me an email a week later just to say, I just can't believe the difference in me over the last week since that talk, she said. And all it was, I just realized, oh my God, I've been listening to that voice tell me about what it thinks about everything, about people, about myself, about the future, about what I can and cannot do. Mm-hmm. And just the simplicity of me realizing, well, hang on, maybe it's not me. Maybe I'll just go off and start doing the things that it says I can't do. It's not you. And she has since gone off to make a lot of different changes. But what I love about, let's call them high achievers, high performers, or entrepreneurs in particular, is that there's no end to the game of trying to get around your inner voice, really. Mm-hmm. There's no end to the game. So, you know, as you said there, more money, more problems. You get to 1 million, you get to 5, whatever the next level is for you, could be more customers or different type of business. When you step out into the unknown, it's the uncertainty, which is the nature of the entrepreneur. They step into the unknown. And that's why anybody who's an entrepreneur who creates a business that works at any level deserves everything that they get from that, because it's not easy, right? But getting around that inner voice, for some of them, they will drive on to get away from the inner voice.
Mm, yes.
For some of, and that could be dangerous because they might turn to things like alcohol to maybe numb the inner voice, okay, which can happen as well, or even any sort of addiction is to get away from that inner voice. So I don't know if I'm answering your question because it's a big...
You did. And it was a loaded question because I wanted to talk about that because I think your opinions on that and your view on that is very powerful. And I think genuinely do think there'll be people listening who are like, I don't know if I have an inner voice. is this my inner voice talking to me right now? It is. Right. Oh my God. And it is a bit eye-opening. Like,
maybe we could do a thing where I talk, Gary, and then you pretend you're my inner voice.
Oh, we could definitely. That's a whole sketch show in itself, I think. We'll pitch that to RTE. I think it's interesting. I had a conversation with you last Wednesday, and I sat down and watched the United match, and I had a full conversation with my inner voice post that, and I was able to recognize it and go, oh yeah, okay.
Yeah,
and you're able to demystify it, and you're able to go, wait, that's not me. I can actually control this. I can have a proper.
Well, can I give you just a very simple example? And it's only because it's just current, but like gorgeous weekend, obviously this weekend in Ireland, mm-hmm. right? And on Saturday, I was lucky enough. I gave myself a treat. I bought a paddleboard. Right?
Oh, nice.
And I said we're going on the maiden voyage, and my daughter Jane, who's just 14. Came out with me, right? So the Craddocks are not known for their balance. We have what are called we have what are called the Craddock ankles.
We are not seafaring creatures.
Yeah, that's not a thing. And there'd be plenty of memories from the past that would confirm that belief, Gary, right? But my wife, Judy, would be the opposite. She'd be extremely good with balance and everything else. So I'm getting this paddleboard and instantly I'm coming out into the water and my mind goes, yeah, you're going to be useless at this. You're going to fall off. It's going to be, you're not going to like this. It's just, and away it goes. Now, in the past, I would have tried to change it. Now, I just kind of go, oh, there's the inner voice. And I just kind of let it float by like clouds. And so my job is really to, I just remember, look, I don't have to believe what my inner voice says. And like when I was depressed and suicidal, I think one of the big breakthroughs that I got coming out of that was I just had this realization, I don't need to believe what I think. It's entirely up to me. I just don't need to believe it. If it says, no, you can't do this with the business, you can't start your own business, you can't get this type of client, you can't, I don't need to believe that. And that has stood me well and actually has helped me with my clients, because my clients have been lucky. They've gone on to do, some of them have gone on to do great things, grow companies, win awards, make major changes, etc., and create lots of employment. So of that, I'm delighted. But a lot of it's to do with just saying, you know what, I'm just going to do it anyway. So when I'm out in the water, And I get up and the inner voice kicking away. And would I call myself graceful? No, it's not a word that would come to mind. But did I manage to stay up without falling in? Yes, right? Now, for me, the answer to that was simple as it sounds. I'm just really just, I just kind of ignore the voice, focus on what I'm doing and not get caught up with it.
And did you enjoy it?
I did enjoy it. Yeah, mm-hmm. I did. Probably not as much as maybe I think I will enjoy it, because now I have the memory in my mind of standing up and I'm going to bed that in.
Yeah.
And I'm going to show, oh, no, Gollum, you don't know everything. But the bit I want to tell you is about my daughter. So she's 14. She gets up and she's like going down a black ski slope. It's like, she's just, it's just like there's no, it's just effortless. And I'm watching her and I'm like, oh, this is interesting. And she just was like, just excelled, and kind of, you could see her just getting more confident, getting better and stronger. So she was moving much quicker up the learning curve than me.
Mm.
Why? Because from what I could see, there was no interference. So anyway, afterwards, we're driving home and I said, hey, you know, you do great there with the paddleboarding. I'm just curious, like, what were you thinking when you got out? And she said what I thought she'd say, which is, I wasn't thinking anything.
I thought that's where you were going to go, yeah.
So I just wasn't thinking anything.
Not overthinking.
Exactly. Mm. So we are in a culture, an incredible culture of technology right now. It's just incredible. Like, we live in this world of impossibility made possible. It's just incredible. So, but the problem with it is that it is amplifying the hidden problem within us, which is a lack of real awareness and understanding of what's going on inside us and how much it influences our lives and our work and our organizations and our cultures. And the incredible noise that's in people's minds from, you know, misuse of technology in terms of email, you know, social media, all of which are very useful tools. But when you have more of a grounding in how you work from the inside out, you tend to look at those things, in my experience, differently. They become more tools as opposed to the weight to do things. So I'm very careful with them. I'm not immune to having a busy mind. I'm not immune to falling off a paddleboard. I'm not immune to struggling with the learning curve. But at least I'm aware. I feel lucky that I'm aware that there's something that for me is very tangible, even though it's in the area of intangibility. But to me, it's very, very real, because I guess maybe, you know, when your inner voice tries to take you out, why would I believe it ever again? Like, my inner voice, I got up one day and the plan was essentially to take myself out. So that's serious. And I'm not saying that lightly, because it's a delicate subject, but I'm very lucky that I kind of went, okay, I got a second chance. I did make a decision that, okay, if I'm going to go with my life, I have to make it count. And with that has come then a certain level of commitment to this area. And some days I hit it and some days I don't.
I think it's very important for people to hear that from you, though. I think that story you just told about the paddleboard, while it might seem very everyday, I think it's very important for people to hear that, because I think people will go, oh, okay, he's normal.
Ish. I have a weird streak as well. But it's funny, Gary, you said it, because when I told my daughter... when I told my daughter Jane, she said, oh, I thought you said that. She goes, yeah. I said, yeah, actually, I was the opposite. I said, I had this, you know, and she turned to me and she goes, is this you trying to give me an inspirational speech? And I was like, what? I said, I don't do that. I said, I'm just telling you the truth. But she didn't believe me.
Yeah.
And I said, no, Jane, I said, I'm just trying to show you. Like, honestly, I said, for me to get up on that board required a lot more inner jujitsu than you would have realized. Yeah. Like it's not the easy thing for me to do. But I'll get better at it now that I've been up. But I'm not sure I'll be as natural as her.
Yeah.
You know.
But I think for people to hear that and look at you and go, okay, well, this guy does it for a living. And he still struggles with that mental game. I think that, you know, it is an ongoing journey. I was chatting to students this morning that a couple of students are starting to build their own business and app. And this was just kind of a kickoff session. And I was like, I'm going to tell you a big secret at the end. Because I was like, how do I keep their attention? They're listening to this guy on a Monday morning, beautiful Monday morning, 11 o'clock. I was like, right, if you stick around at the end, I have a big secret to tell you. And the secret was, no one knows what they're doing.
Yeah,
no one's got it figured out. I was like,
you're making it up as you
look at your teachers, yeah. Look at me, look at your parents, look at the people you admire most in the world. We're all figuring it out day by day.
But did they believe you?
I don't know. I couldn't see their faces. So I assume they did.
Well, that's good advice because it's true.
Often it's better not to be able to see, just on their phone, just texting away. I love it as I prepared this. I prepared this big kind of inspirational speech and chatted away to them about half an hour. I was like, oh, now we'll do questions. First question, how much money do you have? I was like, I really overprepared for this, I think.
Yeah, let's get down to the meat of it.
You've brought me along beautifully. We're almost out of time. You've brought me along beautifully to the piece I want to talk to you about, mental habits. Mm. Talk to me about habits that people can start instilling, because we always try to give takeaways, right? I always want, because I love when I listen to a podcast or listen to anything and they give a couple of practical takeaways, you can go, oh, I can actually start doing that today. Mm. What are a couple of mental habits people can start to install in their life?
Yeah. You see, when you use the word install, and I know how you're using it, and it's kind of, it's typical of the high performance movement or culture. Mm. I have a different view of it now. Like, habits are important, but I think...
Might be a better word. Or consider?
Well, let me throw this at you. So it's... I think the mental climate is probably a better area to look at. So mental habits, they are important, right? But there are 1,000 mental habits that you can use. It's whatever one works for you, right? So just because I might say something, and this is what I've seen even with my work, is that sometimes some people just... it just doesn't quite hit it for them. And they get stressed about it then because it's not working for them.
Yes, so absolutely.
But my caveat is, yeah, I'll throw out a couple of things. But if it doesn't work for you, listen, there's loads of other things.
There's nothing wrong with you, but just try something else.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just find the thing that works for you. That's all.
But keep trying. I think that's the important thing. And why I ask these questions is you have to do something.
Yeah, so let me...
Because I hate when people consume. Sorry to jump across. Yeah. I hate when people keep consuming and consuming and consuming.
Start
and
with something.
So somebody said to me
somebody said to me a long time ago, the one that works, sorry, the habit or the exercise that works is the one that you do.
Yeah, that's true.
It's very true. So just pick one or two and go. But for me, I think a mental climate, the things that I've seen make the biggest difference, Gary, are like in the morning time, for me, the first hour of the day is completely inner mental stuff. And so it could be as simple as, you know, I get you a nice cup of tea, a nice cup of coffee, whatever it is. I might do some meditation, which I like personally. I will read something inspirational. And then I'll always take out a notepad and a pen. And I just do a little bit of free flow writing. And that could be anything. And then I'll finish off by saying, right, what are the two or three things, the outcomes that I want to get done today? Now, I might have 100 things to get done. But what are the two or three outcomes? And for me to win the game of the day, I have to get those done. And then I think if there was one habit I was going to maybe share with you that I do during the day, that for me, it's a game changer if you do it, but I'm wondering what percentage of people listening to this will actually do this, but because I'm guessing it might be small, right? But maybe they'll prove me wrong and they'll email and say, hey, no, I did this.
Hopefully, and if you do, please do. Please do email Shane or email me and let us know.
Well, email you. We call it the Entrepreneur Experience Challenge. I would set 4 to 5 mental pit stops during my day outside of food time, where I might take 5 to 10 minutes and I do what I call, within that, I relax and let go of thinking. So for me to do that, the simplest way to start with that really is just like no phone, no Twitter, no social media. I probably just focus on my breath. And any time my mind gets distracted with thinking, it's a version of a very simplified mindfulness approach technique. Mm-hmm. But you just relax and let go. But if you've had a busy morning and you've never done that, that's going to be tough.
Yeah.
That's going to be tough. But that's the essence of like what a top golfer is now being trained to do. But I still even think in that area, they have more to go. So to me, my ideal state, like I used to think, like my vision of myself in terms of a high performance state would be, okay, busy, 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 take a break. Busy, 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 take a break. Now it's different. Now it's like, no, I'm kind of calm, free flow mode, then I take a break. Mm. Calm, free flow mode, then I take a break. Every now and again, my mind will get busy. That's okay. Take a break. And then just relax your mind. Your mind is the engine that drives everything, but it can't be in charge. You have to be the one that's in charge. That's what I mean by, I suppose, activating that inner CEO. Like, you lead your mind. Don't let your mind lead you.
I love that. You had a great saying last week. I'm trying to remember it, about meditation. Was it I can't remember who said it. Someone said it, when I'm busy, I meditate.
Yeah, Dalai Lama.
Yes, that's a, just when share I'm, that, because I think that's brilliant.
When I'm busy, or sorry, I meditate every day, once a day. But when I'm busy, really busy, I meditate twice a day. Yeah. So you do the opposite to what your mind tells you to do. Because exactly. your mind will go, no, I can't do meditation.
I don't have time.
I haven't got time.
And how many times a day do you say that about everything? Exercise, don't have time.
Yeah.
You well, don't have time to cook first dinner. You know, all this stuff, time. And time is, got all deep, time is construct. But time, you're the master.
Yeah. But you know what you said it earlier on, what's really interesting now is that there is something happening. There's a change emerging, and it's definitely a different movement in a direction towards performance, where there's more interest in health, which is brilliant. There's more interest in mental health, but there's a lot more to go there. So whatever people think that they know about that area, go deeper would be my suggestion, because there's just a lot more to go. And also, don't make it just a tick-the-box exercise for, looking after people.
Yeah.
Bring it in as a core strategy for your business, because that's where you're going to get the edge. You know, that is where you're going to get the edge. You're never really done. I think, as I said to you, like, your best is a work in progress. You're a work in progress. You're never done. And that's the exciting thing.
Yeah.
You're never done.
I think it's to embrace that, as opposed to being finding it, going, when will I reach the destination? And you realize there is none.
Yeah, and
you're on it right now.
Again, just to be honest with you, I was speaking with, I'm lucky to have been mentored by, I kind of actively seek out people that I know are really good, and some of them wouldn't be well known, etc. But, you find these people if you're looking for them. Mm-hmm. And one of them, probably the person I'd most regard on the inner side, a woman. And I remember a couple of years ago, I was getting kind of frustrated at myself, because I didn't feel I was making the progress that I thought I should be making. So inner voice expectation there, Gary. So I was getting frustrated and annoyed, and I wasn't fully aware that I was, but I kind of thought, I just have to keep persisting. But she called me on it. She said, what are you saying to yourself about what we're doing here? I said, look, to be honest with you, I'm just a bit frustrated that I'm not there yet. And she asked me the clangor of all questions, which was a game changer. She said, what's there? And literally I was like finding Nemo goldfish, mouth open. And I was like, then I said, well, it's kind of to be where you're at, I guess, right? And she goes, but that's not a realistic expectation for right now. You're on a learning curve. You're on your own journey. Remove the there. Remove there yet. Remove it completely. And just be where you are, and just do what you know. Be all in, 100%. She said, are you giving, like, do everything? And she said to me then, like, out of 10, are you giving your absolute all in? And I went, no. She said, where are you? I'm 7. Okay, so there's room, you can give more. Mm-hmm. So just every day, do what you know, and then measure the results, get a feel for it. It's, you're the one in the canoe, nobody else. Don't compare it to other people. Don't compare it to me. You've got your journey. Just go with that. But that's the subtlety of the inner game. Like, it's a little tweaks as opposed to
fundamental changes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And then actually, you know, what's funny is if you take the pressure off yourself with these internal expectations, what happens? Your game comes up because you're in a better form. Your mood changes. When your mood changes, your quality of thinking changes. It raises up. And then thinking is everything in business. Like, ideas come from thinking, strategy, how to navigate. It's all thinking. So whatever you can do to improve your quality of thinking, that's really where we need to be looking now. And that's the exciting thing, I think, for the next decade. And it's kind of what we need, because it's not just about success. It's also about life you know, life. And maybe the gift of the pandemic, I think, and we were talking about this before we started recording, I think maybe is the gift of people being more reflective and saying, do you know what? And I've heard this from so many people. Do you know what? I was kind of forced to be at home more. I've kind of been more with my kids. I feel more present. And I kind of enjoyed it. Mm. I've liked it. So, yeah, nature maybe has its own way of making us redirect.
I think you're correct. I think it's also forced us to face up to who we are.
Yeah.
Do you like who you are? Because you're with yourself all the time now and you've no distractions. You're running into the city. You're not running to a meeting. You're not running to this. You've more time just to sit with yourself. Shane, a final question. What book has had a big impact on you personally or professionally?
So many, Gary.
You can't mention your own. But we will mention that. Shane has a great book called Inspire Me. You get it on Amazon. It's a very, very nice book. So he has his own book. There's a little plug for Shane there.
Yeah.
But what book has been? I'm sure there's a lot, but is there one or two?
My wife Judy's always slagging me off because I see books as my friends, you know. That's the weird side of me. I do. I see them as my friends. That my books have just... I don't know. I could just, sometimes I get an intuition, pick up that book and just open a page. I'm sure there are people here listening to this who do the same thing. And sometimes I just see a word or a line and it just says, boom. And I go, I know that's from someplace out there that are higher than me that is telling me something and I'm going to listen to that. It's happened too many times for it not to be true.
It happened with your book before we came on air. Set up. I was thinking through and I was like, oh, that's exactly what we talked about.
Yeah. But if you ask me, like, there's so many, Gary, I think one... that I think is an unusual one, perhaps, for people to expect from me. But in the last 4 years, I think a book that's had a very big impact on me would be the Surrender Experiment, actually. Yeah, which is by a guy called Michael Singer. And Michael Singer started off as a spiritual hippie who wanted nothing to do with business. And he was big into meditation. He'd just go off into the wilderness in Florida and just meditate. And then he kind of came up with this thing hit him one day. He said, you know what, I'm just going to surrender myself to life and wherever it goes, I'm going to stop telling life where I want to go. I'm actually just going to go with it. But then he ended up setting up this company. He didn't want to, but he did. And he grew this business into, became over 1 billion in size and then he sold it. I think it's known as WebMD. You might've heard of that.
Oh yeah.
So he set that up.
Okay.
Amazing story. But the book is about his journey as a business person from the start to that. But essentially, it will really challenge people's minds because it's the opposite to the conventional thing of goal setting. Isn't like it was up to me. I got to set the goal, and away we go. And you and I were touching on this before, but when we first talked, it's the opposite to that. So it'll challenge people's mindsets. But it's been very interesting for me because it's just hit the perfect spot with where I'm at. And it's just about don't let your ego determine what you can or cannot do. Life where you are right now has got incredible opportunity. If you can relax your mind, be more in the present, and that's where peak performance lives, in the present. But when you're in the present, you're more inclined to see the opportunities that are all around you right now. And I mean, to me, opportunities are like buses. There's always one coming along, but most people miss them because they're too busy in their head or they're stressed out or whatever. And that's the thing that's happened is that I've seen that. I've seen that happen more from this Surrender Experiment. So for me, that's an area that I'm leaning more and more into. Not everybody wants to hear about that because it's against maybe the success culture. But to me, it's true success. It's meaningful success. So that's one. So Michael Singer, if you're listening, I should get a commission on any sales that come out of this.
I love that. It has never been recommended before. I've never even heard of it. The Surrender Experiment by Michael Singer. Shane, you also have a great podcast. What is the name of that?
It's called The Inner Edge. So... It's not your format, which is you do fantastic interviews. Me is just me rambling on by myself for like 10 to 15 minutes on different topics. But I kind of use that as a medium for me. It's new for me. I've only been doing it since February, but I really enjoy it. Just talking to myself, Gary, you know.
I do it on a Monday as well. And I find it therapeutic. It allows me to organize my thoughts. I'm honest. It bookends the week for me and it's very enjoyable.
Yeah, well, I can see that because I'm finding the same thing. Certainly easier than paddleboarding, I will admit.
Where can people learn more about yourself, what you do and how to contact you?
Sure. Well, my website is my name. It's shanecraddock.com, 1D. I'm on Instagram, shane.craddock. The podcast is The Inner Edge. On all big major podcast platforms. And then that's really it. I do a weekly email every Monday, which is based around the book that you mentioned, Inspire Me, and it's just a bit of inspiration on a Monday when I think people need it most. It's read in 60 seconds and less than 60 seconds. So it's business, leadership, life, something to kind of give you some food for thought. Because, you know, something I've noticed for myself, half the time, by the way, I don't know if you're the same, but when I write that email, half the time it's for me, Gary.
It's always for me. I write an email on a Monday and it's kind of like a little bookmark for myself.
Yeah.
Things I've enjoyed, things I'm thinking about. Like this week, full transparency, is about investing in yourself.
Okay, yeah, very good.
Because that's what I'm doing at the minute. And it's about that.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what people are interested in. I used to collect all these good stories and I'd regurgitate stuff I'd heard. And now I'm like, I'm just sharing what I'm doing and sharing interesting things I'm finding. It's much better. And the response and feedback, I used to overthink it. I used to be like, oh, it has to be perfect. Now I'm just like, this one's doing
it out there.
Here we go.
Yeah, yeah. And you're doing a great job. So,
well, on that beautiful
just,
note,
just ignore Gollum, Gary. Keep going, man. Yeah, keep going.
Shane, thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, well, thanks a million. I really enjoyed it.
And that's it. Another episode in the bag. Let me know what you thought of that episode with Shane. I really got a massive amount from it. Let me know. You made it the whole way through, so you clearly enjoyed it. Share with me what's been your number one takeaway from it. If you want to win a chance to go to the Dublin Tech Summit this year, share your favorite episode with me on social media and I will pick a winner. I will see you back here next Monday for the Idea Lab. Until then, have an unbelievable week.